What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about some international basketball. We're going to be talking about Vlad Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, Team France, and how they've played. Alex Sarr, obviously injured, so I'm going to talk about that. I also want to get into Keyshawn George and how he played for Canada at America, made the All-Star, basically top five players from the tournament. So certainly want to give him some flowers too and kind of talk about some maybe overarching themes. It's a dead point in the offseason. The saving grace for Wizards fans has been some international basketball with a bunch of guys playing. Even Tristan Vukcevic is getting some spot minutes for Serbia at times. And so that's kind of what we're going to get into now. As you can tell, the background's a little different. It's pretty plain. I'm not in my basement at home anymore. I'm back in and moved into college at Penn State. So maybe I'll work on the background. It's pretty bland now, but stick with me. Hopefully by the season, we're in a better recording location, I guess. But enough of that or of the intro. I've been away. I haven't recorded a pod in about 2 weeks. Part of that is because there's nothing to talk about. Like, it's just hard for me to get on the mic and just spew a bunch of nonsense to get a 30-minute episode out. I don't want to do that for you guys that are listening. I want to make sure that what I'm doing is authentic and that you guys actually have, you know, something to listen to, and I have something to actually talk about. And I think I've gathered enough from the last couple of days between George making that All-Star 5 in America Cup and playing well, and between Bilal being a little inconsistent, Sarr getting injured. There was a lot of discourse about Sarr getting injured. So I kind of want to dive straight into that, honestly, at the top of the show. In case you missed it, France announced on Tuesday that Alex Sarr would miss the remainder of Eurobasket with a right calf muscle injury, which they didn't specify, I don't believe. I would assume maybe it's like a strained right calf. That would make the most sense. You know, obviously not ideal. Alex had a pretty okay tournament. Some games were solid, especially that first opening friendly match. Some other games were okay. He did come off the bench, so he wasn't playing your 30 minutes a game. He's playing around 15, 20. Per match, but you know, he came off arguably since the, you know, in the group stage at least, his best performance against Slovenia: 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 of 6 from the field, 2 blocks, a plus 7, plus minus. You know, he had a pretty good game, especially for someone that's coming off the bench. But it appears that he did injure his calf in that game, or maybe in the practice after, because he sat out their next game. I believe it was against Israel. And then right before their game the other day, against Poland, it was announced that he would miss the remainder of the tournament. So again, from all indications, it doesn't seem like it's too serious of an injury. The Athletic reported that Wizards officials said Sarr should be ready, or they expect Sarr to be ready for the season, that the injury won't require surgery. And all of those things are a plus. But a lot of the discourse I saw from frustrated Wizards fans was that, look, I get it. You really love your country and you want to represent your country in international play. But at the same time, you are under contract in the NBA. You have an obligation to be healthy and ready for the season. And I don't think a lot of fans want those guys running themselves down, risking injury in what they would consider meaningless games. You know, Wizards fans don't care if France wins Eurobasket or goes 0-6 or in the group stage. They couldn't care less. But these players in these countries, they do. That's kind of the reality of it. So I can understand both sides, and especially when you see someone like Sarr get injured, your eyebrows raise and you're like, wait, I really don't want this you know, prized piece of this rebuild to get seriously injured in what I consider a meaningless basketball game. And again, I'll preface it by saying I am not saying these are meaningless basketball games. I'm trying to speak from the perspective of a lot of the Wizards fans that were in my comments when I tweeted out the injury news, that were just annoyed by the fact that Sarr is getting injured in what they consider games that don't matter. And truth be told, they don't matter if you're a Wizards fan. Like, you want Sarr to play well in international play. Same with Bilal and Vukcevic and George. It helps. But number one, it's not NBA competition. And number two, it does not mean anything in terms of the Wizards' success. It doesn't help the Wizards, you know, if their team is good, I guess. They couldn't care less about that team success for these international games. They care maybe if the individuals play well. And so I can understand from that perspective the frustration, but I can also understand from the point of these guys in Sarr and Bilal playing for France. This is their country. They grew up playing and you know, dreaming of playing for their country. And so they get a chance to do it at Eurobasket. I don't blame them for going and playing. You know, injuries are part of the game and it sucks. And you got to hope, obviously, it seems like Sarr avoided serious injury. But also I saw a lot of comments with you know, the calf. A lot of times a strained calf can lead to a torn Achilles. You saw it with Kevin Durant in the finals with the Warriors. You saw it literally a couple months ago with Haliburton in the finals. If you're not careful, that could be ugly. And so I think it's nice that they caught it and they held them out. Obviously, they're being cautious. I don't know if Wizards officials have enough pull to where they can say, hey, you're not playing him. I don't know what that dynamic is where, you know, can Will Dawkins just call up the GM of France or the coach of France and say, hey, he has this injury. We're holding him out. You can't play him. I don't know if that's the case. Like, I don't know if it's – you may think that if you're the Wizards GM, but – right now, I have autonomy over those decisions if I'm France or Sarr. I don't know what that dynamic is. I'd love to learn it. It would be quite interesting to kind of uncover it. But, you know, it seems like they're being cautious with Sarr. He's going to miss the remainder of the tournament, which isn't too many games, right? But, you know, played most of the group stage and now he's out. I think, you know, I'm just kind of happy that it's not serious. It could have been way worse. No surgeries involved. The Athletic reported the Wizards expect him back by the season. I don't know if that means by the start of training camp, because I'm recording this on September 3rd. Calf injuries can be tricky in terms of, you know, it takes a while to get back to full strength where you're not going to re-aggravate that calf injury. You know, training camp for the Wizards means, I believe, on September 29th, which is basically 4 weeks away from the time Sarr injured that calf. And, you know, will he be ready? I don't know. It'd be great if he has a full training camp under his belt, gets to play maybe some preseason games too. Again, he's still 20. He's still growing. He's still young. You don't want to see injuries for anybody, let alone your, you know, number two overall pick, who's a big man. And you know, big man injuries are at times scarier because they tend to linger. I mean, you see with Embiid, it's been a problem his whole career. And what, Sarr played 67 games, missed 11 with an ankle injury midseason. So again, I'm not too concerned. I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue or hassle, but I am curious to see, you know, what that looks like going forward. Is he back by training camp? Is he back by the start of the season? Kind of how does that impact his ramp up and readiness for the beginning of the season? We shall see. But obviously not an ideal injury, just happy that he avoided, you know, a serious long-term injury and it seems like no surgery and he'll be ready for the year. So That's the Sarr injury. Certainly some discourse there. I understand both sides, but I'm going to move on from that now to something a little bit lighter, and that's Keyshawn George making that All-Star team for AmeriCup. Top five players in that tournament, you know, with Canada, Brazil, a bunch of other nations with really solid NBA, some solid NBA talent, but just solid basketball talent in general. And George was one of the best players at the tournament. Averaged 13.5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Shooting splits were phenomenal. 52% from the field, 46% from three, nearly 80% from the line, 1.2 steals per game, half a block per game. It just kind of showcased, you know, his ability to turn it on. You know, he had games where he scored a lot. He had games where he scored a decent bit, but really impacted defensively with 2-3 steals in the game, a couple blocks. You know, just certainly playing really good defense, especially on the perimeter. And that's just something that I think he holds his hat on. And I think the Wizards are very high on. I certainly am. And it brought me to the point, like, is Keyshawn George the best young prospect the Wizards have at the moment? You could make a case, like, maybe if you're talking about, like, ceiling or potential, that you still would side with Sarr or Bilal, even Bub or Trey Johnson. And I maybe understand that, but I mean, just in terms of pure production, what these guys did in the regular season and into international play in the off season, I think I would be able to make a case for the fact that I'm most excited about Keyshawn George this upcoming season. I mean, I'm certainly amongst the people entering their sophomore year. I'm the most excited about him because I just loved how he turned it on at the end of the year. I love the confidence that he picked up throughout the season. I just really like the potential, right, that he has is the 3-and-D wing that the Wizards, you know, pretty much drafted him to be. It's a lot of times you have a vision for guys when you draft them. Like they think Sar can be this stretch 4 or 5 that protects the rim. Maybe that doesn't work out. Obviously, I'm not saying it hasn't. But you get my point, right? Like they thought Johnny Davis would be a point guard, which is blasphemous, by the way, but we don't have to harp on that. They thought he could be a point guard that defends his position really well, like a Jalen Suggs type of guy, and he was just like the 14th or 15th man on a roster. Like I'd rather have Blake Wesley or Malachi Branham right now on my team than Johnny Davis. They were drafted in the same draft, and Davis was taken, what, 12 to 15 picks above each of them. And so the point stands that a lot of times these archetypes are envisioned for these guys, and it doesn't pan out. But I honestly think that George not only has already shown he's going to develop into a strong 3-and-D player, like at worst, a strong 3-and-D player. I think he has shot creation ability and potential. I think his shooting touch will improve drastically. I'm just the most confident that he can become a complete player out of Bub, Sar, Bilal, and that kind of group of young players that they have. And I'm not even factoring in Trey Johnson or Will Riley because we haven't seen them in NBA game action, right? Just potential from them right now. But I really think even in America, and I know it's not NBA competition, but he showed he was an NBA player that belonged and played tremendous ball with some really talented individuals in international play. So again, impressive stuff from George in America, certainly earned that All-Star nod. I'm just really impressed with what I see. My guy Riley tweeted out a video of George. He had it in the corner and he shot it and did like a Steph Curry turnaround, drained the three. That's the type of confidence I'm talking about. Like you saw with Draymond and some other games with, I believe it was against the Nets, where he'll just get in people's grills. He'll get in their face. You know, he'll talk smack. He'll do all that stuff. That's what I like. Like that's you're talking about culture and building culture and building, you know, a team that doesn't care about the other side. They're going to play basketball. They're going to get in their face. You know, they're going to grind out wins. I think George is the perfect player to kind of, you know, cement that culture. It seems like he's been more vocal just in the summer league practice film and footage and in the summer league tape that I saw. You know, I think he'd be a real leader as well on this team, not just off the court, but on defense too, in terms of I'm going to take away this best player. I need you guys to kind of do your job as well. I'm going to get steals and blocks, and I'm going to be a menace, both on the interiors. We saw there's a play I watched the other day where, you know, he blocks Giannis. He takes Giannis takes him in the paint, kind of bullies him, and then goes up for a shot and just gets stuffed by George. And that happened a lot, you know, on some really good NBA players. And so I think if you're asking me who I'm most excited about this next season, it's not Bilal, it's not Sar, it's not Bub, it's not even Trey Johnson. I think I'd say with confidence, I'm most excited to see what Keyshawn George can do in year two, because I really think he could end up being the best player from that draft class. That's not a knock on Sar or Bub, but I just really like what I saw at the end of the, you know, his first season. I really like what I saw into an international play in summer league. And I just think if we're talking completeness in a player, offense, defense, grit, leadership, I really like what George brings to the table. And I don't want to jump the gun, but I just want to jump on here and let you guys listening know how excited I am. And I'm sure Wizards fans too are excited about George entering his second season. That leads me to the third segment on the pod, which is Bilal Coulibaly. And it's kind of a damper tone because there's been the inconsistency that I think has plagued Bilal Coulibaly throughout the first 2 years of his NBA career is kind of rearing its ugly head in international play as well. You know, he had some great games to begin Eurobasket, you know, had some games where he was scoring the ball pretty well, especially in these friendly matches. You know, a couple games, you know, against Slovenia, but he had 12.7 boards on 5 of 11 from the field. I believe against Slovenia, he had 13 points, 4 rebounds on 5 of 8 shooting from the field. What else? Maybe I'm trying to see if there was more on him in terms of, I feel like he had one more better game. Maybe against Belgium, he was pretty solid, especially in the beginning on defense in that game against Belgium. But then you have another game where, you know, against Israel, He's pretty quiet in their 13-point loss, 4 points, four boards, took just four shots in 16 minutes. Again, that's not going to cut it. And I'm not saying that Bilal needs to go out and average 20-plus a game. I don't know if that's really in his arsenal or in his bag yet, but he should consistently be putting up more shots. He should be more efficient. And in international play, you know, you would expect him to be in double figures pretty much most games. And I think most of the time he has been, but lately it hasn't been the case. And he had his worst game in France's last game. It was a win over Poland. So team-wise, great. But he played just 9 minutes. He fouled out. It's five fouls, not six in Eurobasket, but the point stands. He fouled out in just 9 minutes. He picked up two fouls in the first minute, came back in, picked up more fouls, barely played in the second half, and then fouled out right when he came back in. Again, 3 points that game, two boards on four shots. The shoot, he didn't play a lot, but he's not shooting enough for my liking. I like to see him shoot more threes as well. That's going to be big. The release does look better, and it's a small sample size too. But his release looks like a little bit quicker, if you notice, and it looks a little bit more fluid. There's not too much of like a hitch or slowness to his jumper that I'd seen those first couple of years. But at the same time, he needs to take a lot more threes and obviously make a lot more as well. I think he shot 28%, which is even worse last year from three. Not going to cut it. He needs to be at least at like 34, 35% for me to feel pretty confident, especially entering a rookie extension season. You know, Will Dawkins has been, you know, a proponent of giving out these rookie extensions after a player's third season. Denny Avdia got one. Corey Kispert got one. Johnny Davis didn't. Obviously, they traded him. He wouldn't get one anyway. But that next man up would be Bilal, you know, not this October, but next October. And, you know, year three is going to be really big for him. He cannot have these inconsistent showings where he goes out and gets 20-plus points, you know, back-to-back games. And then you got a 4 or 5 game stretch where he's in single digits and he's shooting 20% from three and he's fouling a lot. There needs to be more consistency because, you know, you have a guy that comes in, we see this a lot, where they have really good potential. And every year it just seems to kind of wane. It seems to be like, yes, the potential is still there. But for some reason, this player, this prospect cannot put it all together. He cannot put it together for that one big leap, that one breakout season. You saw it with Denny, right? It was like, he's there. And year one, year two, you're like, okay, like he's going to turn it on. And then he turns it on in year three. And it's a pretty minuscule breakout season. You know, he played better, but it wasn't like the Wizards were locked into giving him that extension, right? And then they give him that extension. You know, some people didn't think that he had earned it, but they give him a deal. And then he has that breakout in year four, and you're like, okay, like we had been waiting for him to put his shoulder into guys and go downhill and be fast with the ball in the open court, rebound, set up teammates, add a three ball, all of these things that he just put together finally in year four. And they traded him, and he's playing really well for Israel in Eurobasket, and some Wizards fans are mad, and rightfully so. It sucks seeing a guy like that play so well that you traded. Again, I could go on and on about that trade. I don't want to, but my point stands that he's a guy that put it all together, and that's when it goes right. That's when everything that you had been waiting for finally clicks in one season, and that contract looks like one of the best in the league. But you could go the opposite direction, right? You got a guy like, and I've made this comparison before if you're a listener of the pod, Patrick Williams, right? Like drafted pretty high for a guy of, you know, that couldn't shoot the ball in college and was a good defender and a good, you know, offensive, you know, driver getting to the rim, I guess, good speed. But they draft him, Chicago drafted him pretty high in the lottery. You know, he has some okay moments and some okay seasons, but they gave him that, what was it, 5 years, $90 million contract extension. You know, at the time it was like, okay, like we have 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out. Like we give him this now and it could go like it did for Denny, where, okay, we look like geniuses because this contract is phenomenal now, and this kid looks like he could be an all-star in 1 to 2 seasons and looks like he can be pretty good, you know, one, two, or three option if we're looking to contend. But you can go the opposite direction, which is where Williams went, where he hasn't added a three-point shot. His offense is pretty much non-existent. He's still an okay defender, but it's not like he's an all-NBA defensive team caliber defender. And you're just sat there with all of that money guaranteed on that contract. And you, as the GM, look dumb. You look like you gave out a really bad deal. You made a gamble, and it didn't work out the way you wanted to. And I feel, I don't want this to be the case, right? But I feel like the Wizards are approaching that territory with Bilal Coulibaly where, you know, the potential has got to meet production at some point. You know, you can't continue to have these seasons of sub 30% from three, you know, of around 10 points per game and a couple rebounds and assists here and there, maybe a triple-double sprinkled in, but your shooting splits are horrid. You don't show too much as an offensive creator. Your defense is still solid, but that's because, you know, you are a very gifted in terms of your length, your athleticism, your leaping ability, you know, but maybe you still foul too much. It's like all of these things that you really need to put together at some point. And when you don't, and you get to year four, year five, the team is put in a bind. It's like, okay, we have to commit to him now, but we really don't know if we should commit. He hasn't shown us that we should commit. Denny showed the Wizards, okay, maybe you should commit, maybe you shouldn't, but I would probably lean on the side you should, because he had shown a lot towards the end of that third year, and then bang, breakout in year four, they look really good in that front office. With Bilal, I think maybe they'd get into that point where, okay, he's continuing to show like he can average, you know, 10 to 15 points per game. He's not going to be the best three-point shooter. His offensive creation is there at times, but really isn't someone you should rely on that end, and his defense is still solid. And I think at that point, the Wizards would be like, we got to give him an extension. Maybe it's not the big rookie scale maxes like you're seeing, but maybe it's, you know, a pretty like a four-year $90 million deal, 4 years, $100 mil based on how he plays. It's all locked in. It's fully guaranteed, and it can go either way. It can go the Denny route. It can go the Patrick Williams route, and the Wizards obviously would be banking on the Denny route, but you don't want to get into that. You want to know after year three, we should extend this guy. We should be proactive, and we know that he's progressing the way we want him to. Not just there's all this potential, but we haven't seen the production to merit a let's lock this in now. He's going to be a star. And that's what they drafted him to be, I think, is to be a guy that they're like, okay, by year three or four, we know that we want this guy here long term. We know he's going to produce long term. And as of now, it's only 2 years, but he hasn't shown that he can be that guy. That can produce long-term. And I'm not saying a 25, 30-point per game guy. He won't ever be that. I'm saying a really good defender that can shoot the ball and create on offense. That's not too much to be asking for, I think, from Bilal in year three or year four. But I do think that the production needs to take a step up. And his performance in Eurobasket hasn't been abysmal. I've liked what I've seen at times, but lately, the last couple of games, Wizards fans are concerned, right, that he's fouling out in 9 minutes in international play. And, you know, the game before, he has 4 points on just four shots, and he's not playing maybe to the way that Wizards fans would expect a guy entering year three in the NBA to play in international play, especially he started every game to pretty much played good minutes, except when he's in foul trouble. So I think the concern, I guess, is warranted. But I do think that entering, you know, pretty big year three for Bilal with that extension looming next October, he certainly needs to turn it up. I think the three ball is a big part of that. The offensive side of the ball in general as a whole is the biggest part, I think, for me. But the production needs to be there. And so I don't want to harp on that again too much, but that's a little bit of a long-winded rant on why this is just such a big year for Bilal Coulibaly. Moving forward, just trying to think of any other storylines while I'm here kind of talking about what I've seen with the Wizards. Like I said, training camp starts September 29th. I think media day is probably on October 6th, I would say. It's typically the first Monday in October, at least from the last couple of years that I've looked back on. I'm going to try to be there and get credentialed for media day. So hopefully I can bring you guys some coverage and a pod afterwards, kind of giving my thoughts on. And media day isn't like a thing where you do too much like analyzing, right? It's kind of like a for fun thing. Every single player goes to the podium and you can ask them questions. And you know, I think 2 years ago when I went, Jordan Poole said his green light is as green as DC. That was kind of like the quote of the day. Obviously, you have Trey Johnson, Will Riley, Jameer Watkins at the podium speaking. And so I think it'd be cool to kind of get some perspectives from such a young team. McCollum and Middleton there, obviously, as those veterans and mentors. I'm excited about what they bring to the table as well. So the season's approaching, right? And the pods are going to pick up. I promise they'll pick up. There's just not much to really talk about apart from Eurobasket in America right now. I mean, Tristan Vukcevic, I guess I can mention real quick, he's been playing off the bench for Serbia in spot minutes. It's not like he's that primary backup to Jokic, who's, by the way, dominant as ever, even in international play. But Vukcevic has had like some decent moments, I guess. You know, he had 6 points, five boards against Portugal. He was 1 of 6 from the field, which isn't great, but was 4 of 4 from the line. Serbia, I think, is also still undefeated, which is pretty good for him. In there, it was like a 30-point win the other day. He had 9.7 rebounds on 4 of 8 from the field. That's pretty solid game in 21 minutes. Apart from that, you know, I guess you could say I've liked the way that he's rebounded the ball, you know, rebounding and kind of a reluctancy to get dirty on the glass. That's kind of been one of the issues I've had with Vukcevic and all the Wizards fans that have said, you know, he needs to play a lot more just because he's, what, 21, 22? No, like, he's got a long ways to go. He's got to still add some muscle. I think he's pretty skinny for a guy that projects as, you know, a stretch four or maybe, you know, a spot minutes five if the Wizards really need someone. I mean, look, if Bagley or Sarr unfortunately gets injured or Sarr's not ready for the start of the season, Tristan Vukcevic is the only other big man on your roster apart from Marvin Bagley. Like, that's you're playing with fire there. And I think Vukcevic would be a serviceable five, but I still think he's better as a four, and I still am a little concerned about that center depth, you know, for a team. I mean, Bagley's one of the most injury-prone players of the last 6-7 years. Alex Sarr isn't injury-prone, but he just got injured in Eurobasket. That's not a great start. And so, you know, I think at some point, if history repeats itself, you know, unfortunately, Vukcevic will be called upon to play the five, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, are those, you know, is he still reluctant to rebound the ball amongst the trees? You know, what's his interior defense look like from last year where it was pretty abysmal to this year where you hope that it's taken at least a step forward? And same goes for Sarr too. He needs to rebound the ball a lot better. He needs to play better interior defense. And so I think those are some things I'm kind of keeping an eye on. It's not like Vukcevic has jumped off the page for Serbia, but they're winning a lot of games. He's playing solid minutes off the bench. So not too much to complain about really with him or his role for Serbia. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this pod. I knew I wanted to get a pod out talking about some international storylines with the Wizards. Yeah, George played really well at AmeriCup. Bilal inconsistent as of late in Eurobasket. Sarr out in Eurobasket for the remainder of it. And I also had some my tweet was that Sarr is out for the remainder of Eurobasket with an injury, and some people were mad because they thought I should not have started it that way. They thought it would say something about the remainder of the NBA season. So again, right hand up. That's on me. I probably should have worded that a little bit better. Maybe put Eurobasket news in the beginning of the tweet so that you know it's about Eurobasket and not the NBA season as a whole. But, you know, obviously talked about Vukcevic as well. So there's still Eurobasket to be played, and I'll continue to tweet out updates on stats and performances from Bilal and Vukcevic there and those respective teams in France and Serbia and how they fare. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all you guys for listening as always. Go Wiz.